nationwide. We bring you latest current issues, discussions and information. Nationwide on Radio Miraya.
Hello, welcome to the Nationwide Discussion Hour on Radio Miraya. I'm Gabriel Shadar, and we've just started the 16 days of activism. And these 16 days of activism are against sexual and gender-based violence. And this year, the world is focusing on the digital space. The digital space is what is happening online. And in the digital space, a lot of things are happening. But also, we are focusing on the digital violence against all women and girls. And this is the theme of this year. And even South Sudan here, we are focusing on that. How can we deal and prevent the digital violence that is targeting women and girls? And maybe we are not just saying it is only happening to women and girls, but specifically women and girls seems to be really hard hit by this violence. And that is why I have today in the studio a number of activists who are in this field. And I will give them the chance to introduce themselves so that the listeners are familiar with their voices. And I will be starting anti-clockwise, and that means I'll be moving this way. Yes.
Hello, everyone. Yine Yenkinyika. I'm the co-founder of Google's ICT Initiative and the Digital Inclusion Strategist.
Welcome, Yine Yinka.
Yenki.
Yes. Yeah, Yenki. Yine Yenki. Welcome to the studio. Yes.
Thank you.
Next.
Thank you. Good afternoon to everybody. I'm Dimba Shafiq Taban from Islamic Council, Secretary for County Affairs. Thank you.
In Central Equatoria or the national
Central
one?
Central Equatoria.
Central Equatoria. Welcome, Dimba, from the Islamic Council. We will later say why you are here. You are representing the faith-based groups to deal with these issues here. Yes?
Good evening, everyone. My name is Nyamal Kwai. I'm a member of Marmara Circuit Village.
Marmara Circuit Village. Yes.
Thank you so much. Good evening to all listeners of Radio Miraya. I'm called Kuraku Lisete from Power Space. That is basically the YMCA's Youth Empowerment Hub. Mm-hmm. And of course, I'm also a youth leader.
Yes,
it's
welcome.
It's a privilege to be here.
Welcome, welcome. And I've seen you in several events and a lot of functions regarding youth.
Thank
so let us look first at the scope and the prevalence of the problem. And that will give that question to Yine. Welcome. What is happening when it comes to specifically digital violence and another way, digital safety for women and girls in South Sudan?
Well, that's a very good question and very wide.
Yeah.
I hope you won't sleep here at the studio. First of all, Google's focus.
You will shorten it, yeah.
Okay, yes. Yeah. First of all, Google's focus has always been mentorship in science, technology, engineering, and mathematics, hacktivism, and ICT4D projects and research. So basically, this has been elite. I can say it's our area of operations and.
That's why you are here.
Yes, area of operations and specialization. But for a number of times, we also observed quite a lot of isolated cases of a woman being shamed online. Others will call you, you're ugly, and then they put all the mean words that you could see. Sometimes it's just an innocent, I think if I can use the recent, one of the recent examples, where a journalist, I think, yeah, one of the journalists, I can call them a journalist, made a statement and the internet all went wild. And you realize that there are some people who could almost in a day write up to 20 posts about the same thing, just calling out, we should shame her, we should block her. Others were saying we should, she should leave the position that she was holding. But at the back of my mind, I was like, was this noise, first of all, necessary? These are just like so many different events. Mm-hmm. So for me, personally, as Ine, I think my understanding of tech-facilitated gender-based violence started around 2016, because always when we talk of take facilitated gender-based violence, people, it's very easy for us to think of the phone and on the internet. But even through a phone call, I could still be a perpetrator of tech-facilitated gender-based violence. So in 2023, to cut it short, with our sisters from Mamara Circuit Village, one time we were having a conversation on the challenges that we were facing online and the different incidences that we were seeing. So we concluded at the end that it was proper for us to have a roundtable discussion with the young women, who some were feminine, some were at the university, some were working. And from that roundtable discussion, we realized that it was actually necessary for us to also understand the states and what was perhaps happening from the age of 18 to maybe 34, 35, and see among the women how prevalent the issue was. Fast forward, 2024-2025, we really focus on how were we going to do this research, what was going to be the objectives of this research, and I think we zeroed on, of course, as Go Girls with our sisters from the village, we zeroed on the fact that we understand, first of all, the growing digital access. Because even when you look at the statistics from 2023 to 2015, the percentage has even increased, which is 15.7. That's of in terms of access. Then when we look at the fact that the different issues were existing and also the policy gaps that were not in place. We're like, so what should our research objective and aim be? So straightforward, we say, no, access, prevalence, that's one thing we need to get information on. Examine the impact. We need to also analyze the existing frameworks that we have and also evaluate digital literacy. Because it's interesting that I was part of the National Communications Authorities Board, and one of the reports by one of the telcos say that in South Sudanese actually have more smartphones compared to, for example, users in the East African region, like in Uganda. People have more of button phones than smartphones. So you realize that at the end of the day, somebody is actually able to make a phone call, to communicate, to speak in their language. So for us, I think our assessment of digital literacy from our angles is not just the fact that you can speak English, you can use, but how are you using that device? How are you protecting yourself? So in a nutshell, since we haven't publicly published our research because there are different activities are still ongoing, but of course we have some preliminary insights, because if you're receiving data and information, there is some fact that you can already start working on and using. Yes. So during actually looking at some of our insights from the survey, one of them is one of them is 56.6%, for example, of the women aged between the age of 25 to 34 indicated a high vulnerability of online harm. So it means this is actually a range of young women who are at the university, educated, who have finished. They are the ones who are experiencing this the most. So what does that signify? It signifies that when, for example, women, and I've interacted with quite a number of young women, some say they just come online to read what's there, not bother. They don't post. They don't market their businesses. There is one who is a very close friend. For her, she has a business. She was telling me, if you can market for me, it would be best. But I was telling her, you have a platform, for example, which you could use to market. And she was like, I can't deal with the toxicity of the online spaces. But this is somebody who has gone to school. So if they are telling you that, what is happening to a teenager, for example, in a secondary school?
Yeah, it can be much.
Yes.
It can be much. Now, in a nutshell,
yes,
what you are saying, women are being targeted because of their gender, because they are girls.
Yes.
And they are being targeted even if they are not saying much, if they are not calling out anybody.
I think I think that in terms of the targets, they are different.
Yeah.
Because I could be a girl and you're a man, for example, you send me I love using this example. Mm-hmm. You send me a message on Telegram, I don't respond. Hi, I don't respond. The next day, I don't respond. The next thing, the next message you send is already insulting me.
Yeah.
Oh, you're proud. What, you think you're special. Is it because you're a girl? Others will even tell you you're ugly. You're not beautiful, all these things. But I think I want to narrow it to the fact that when we look at even access, in terms of accessibility, we have an imbalance. When we look at the current statistics of South Sudan, women, females are 28.5%. Those are the ones that are online. And the men are 71.5%. So males, so when you just look at the numbers, you realize there's already an imbalance. Mm. If one woman just makes a mistake, almost 71.5 people are coming after.
Yeah. I want to see if there is a criticism of a man and then a woman. The criticism of a man will be less than a criticism of a woman. Like if people are going out against a man, it would be less than going out against a woman. Is that is what is happening in South Sudan?
No, I think it depends on the
subject. It depends on the situation.
Entirely depends on the subject.
So I wanted to see if it is easier for people to bully a woman than to bully...
It's always very easy to bully women because you also know that our societies, we have so many stereotypes. Women are not supposed to speak. Mm. You're supposed to, they call it demure. You're supposed to be humble. So if you're a woman who is speaking up, that's already a problem.
Mm-hmm.
Why are you speaking up? Yet you're meant to just keep quiet. Yes.
Yeah. Let me go to Nyamal. I want you to quickly also supplement what Yine has been saying, and because you seem to have been also working together, maybe you are not working directly with Yine, but Asma Marasakit, what can you say from what Yine has been saying? Yeah.
Okay, thank you for the chance. Asma Marasakit Village, we also advocate for the GBP bills and the rights for everybody. So as she said, actually, the bullying issue is not only for one person. It's actually across all the genders. But mostly the affected gender is women. In our case, mostly affected gender is women. I don't know why. Maybe because of our culture and cultural norms of South Sudanese and all these things. As she mentioned earlier, most of our cultures, women are just supposed to be submissive and give up and give in to the decision-making by others. And you don't have, you are not allowed to say a word. Once you say a word, you are not that. Due to the fact that also in the same society as the Muslims community also, then the girls are supposed not to talk so. So it's just interlink itself. So when the bullying come, mostly affected are girls and women.
Mm.
Whereby even if a man have done something wrong, yes, there could be some harsh words online for him, but in one way or the other, it will be criticizing maybe on politics issue, he have eaten some money, he have done that, but not on the case of when it is a rape case, they're like, huh, what was she putting on? Where was she at
victim.
That time?
Yeah, blame the victim.
They blame the victim instead of finding out what exactly happened and how should we address that. So maybe the victim was just sent to go and buy something in the shop, and she met those people there, and then they misuse her. And then they will also blame her instead of trying to find out exactly how can these things be addressed.
Karakuli, as a youth activist, and you have been dealing with this, let us look on the impact of this on the young girls and women. Like it is limiting their accessibility, like it pushing them away, because we all understand that having access to the internet and all this has an advantage in the long-term development, finding jobs, finding opportunities. But now it's like pushing women and girls away from the online presence.
That's true. It's pushing them away from their online presence. That's why we must really respect the girls when it comes to such issues in regards to digital space. We must give our girls the chance to, of course, be there and, of course, participate. We should also, of course, the recent cases of girls being threatened, intimidated online, like, for example, me, like for example, me dating a girl, and when it comes to issues of breakup between me and a girl, then I will go up and post maybe naked pictures and all this. This is really intimidating the girls from participating in such spaces. So as a power space, we are advocating that such things should not happen. And of course, girls should be given the maximum respect they deserve when it comes to digital space.
And then what do you do exactly? What kind of activity do you do there to deter these things or to minimize these harms?
Well, as power space, what we do is we offer things like personal development and, of course, empowerment to youth. And, one of those things we do also is, of course, we do skills building and capacity building, offering young people trainings in areas that matters. And, of course, as I said, one of the things is, of course, we make sure that we train the young people on how to advocate for the well-being of all genders. We should not intimidate a certain gender on when it comes to online presence. So those are the things that the power space do. And of course, we also do, we offer space for dialogue because, you know, all genders has to come and sit together. We respect each other. That's basically what we do as power space. And we also, of course, offer space for talent. Like there are people who are talented in various fields. And of course, as power space, we also offer them that opportunity to expose their talents.
Safely.
Yeah, that is it.
Safely.
So that's basically what we do as power space. We also do things like, of course, youth-led community and social projects. That is providing space for mentorship and, of course, materials and internet meeting rooms. So those are the things we do as power space. And, of course, so those are the things we do. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you for that, Korakuli. Let me go back quickly to the first speaker, Yine. The harms seem to be multiple harms. And we learn a lot of lessons, and the whole world, and this is not happening only in South Sudan, by the way. It's kind of a global trend happening, and I even heard stories in which some of the girls even committed suicide.
Yes,
yeah, there are suicide cases, or some of the girls like were misled, job opportunities, cheating. Right, it's not a bullying, but also really criminal activities like offering jobs here and then they end up doing other things and
even
all this.
Trafficking.
Yeah, trafficking. This is what I mean, human trafficking. Yes. And these are all serious issues. So what could be your message, your quick message for women out there? Of course, are you telling them that they should not go to these platforms online? Or what are you telling them to do when they are there online?
as Go Girls and Bambara Circuit, what are we telling them? I think this research is actually the first significant step that we've really done for, I was going to say for this country, but we've really done for ourselves as a country, because the fact that we want to understand extensively what's happening to them and come up with the rightful solutions. It could be, like you mentioned, the issue of suicide. It could be counseling. It could be encouraging these girls to speak up, because we also know that most of the young girls are the ones who mainly become a target. Mm-hmm. Part of this research was in secondary schools, and we were very intentional with the reason why we wanted schools and academia, because we know ICT curriculum already exists. So our push is, how can this even be integrated into their learning spaces? Of course, outside there, we'll continue with our advocacy campaigns, with our awareness. And I don't know if you're aware, because currently we have an ongoing digital campaign about the same thing. As Go Girls, as Mamara Circuit, joined in by the National Communications Authority, Safeticom, and UNFPA. So we want them to speak up. We want them to know that if somebody, for example, is sending you repeated messages online, that's, for example, cyber stalking, and that's a crime. if somebody, for example, tracks your calls and diverts them all to him, it means for me to answer, I have to go through you. That's already cyber stalking. So unless we point out that these things are happening, some of the girls don't know. Recently, I hope I have a few minutes. Mm-hmm. Recently, I interacted with one of the girls in one of the spaces, and she was sharing her personal story when we were talking about internet safety. She said she was online, and somebody innocently sends a friend request, I want to be your friend, and she was like, I'm okay. After all, it's a what? It's a girl who has sent me the what? The friend request. Their conversation goes on very well. The next thing, she was like, can we exchange photos? She went, took her photos, shared with the person online innocently. Then in between, the person a bit went silent, and the person again came back and said, I want to introduce you to a business. You know, you can actually be rich in this Juba. That was the message. She was like, oh, which kind of business? And this girl now mentions that she mentions prostitution.
Oh.
Yes, that they are customers who do like young girls like you. And she was like, I don't do that. I'm not that kind of a girl. And then this person concludes at the end that, you know, that if I really want to find you, I can find you. Because she said what she exchanged with this person were not only what?
Yeah, her detail, personal detail.
Yes, her personal details she has already shared.
Now it turns into intimidation now.
Exactly.
Wow. Yeah.
So in the end, she decided to block this person. And she also stepped away a bit from the space to see. But when she shared her story, we were asking her questions like, did you check the person's profile? She was like, I didn't even bother. Yeah. I just saw a photo and I thought.
Yeah.
But yet it's very, very important for you to know, whom are you interacting with?
Yeah.
Do you know this person? What are they? You can go and check their details understand. If, for example, somebody sends me a friend request and their profile is locked, what am I doing with you?
Yeah.
I have no business.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Facebook is basically for friends. People you know.
Do you know, I think, let me put this out there. In our research, in some of the data that we have already analyzed, Facebook, WhatsApp has the highest percentage, 90%. And most of the
guys say they,
like, circulation of these messages. You know, messages are being shared via WhatsApp.
Mm.
It's actually currently beyond Facebook. So the kind of messages, nudity that is being shared, photos and videos, all these things, even it's easy for somebody to threaten you actually via WhatsApp without anyone knowing, and even these messenger apps. Then we realize also Facebook has the highest with almost 84, 85. I need to get my numbers right, but Facebook came the second, then TikTok. And TikTok, it's because you're able to do a short video, you're able to post. Most of it is about shaming girls.
Appearances.
Body shaming. You're not beautiful, you're ugly, why would you do that? So those are the kind of constant messages that they are receiving.
Yes, let's go to the representative of the faith-based groups, Simba Shafiq. What can you say about this conversation so far? Because soon we are going to have our listeners on the call lines. Yes.
Thank you, Sadal. This is a very interesting topic, but one thing we have to understand, that South Sudan is one of the youngest country in Africa, and as being youngest, people tend to adopt many things without knowing the impact, the positive and the negative impact of things. On side of us as the faith-based organization, we use always to advise the youth, and we provide them such a spiritual guide. You know, when they stick on spiritually guide, I think some of the thing they will not be part of the thing. Like currently today, in this issue of digital violence, is everywhere, and it's you, the way you use your digital may lead you to become violent or not. So when you use it in an appropriate way, I think you may not be a victim of this digital violence. But we need again to sensitize and facilitate the gender discrimination, because here, where you find, as as religious leaders, we have come across that the gender discrimination in South Sudan, particularly South Sudan, is so rampant. Women are the ones who are not going to meetings, clan meetings. No, you don't chair. Women are the ones who are not participating in everything in the community. So the discrimination of women, we realize that need really the effort of the religious leaders and try to minimize, because the culture, according to African context against women, we know, yes, a woman, there are other things that we can do and others cannot do. But here we are in a digital world where everybody has the right to do what he wants or she doesn't. But again, we need a respect, even if at home. What is the most important thing is respect. If there is respect between a woman at home, a lady at home, at his place of work, I think all this violent will not be. Like transforming the harmful gender norms to fuel the online harassment harassment and violence. Mm-hmm. We need to, as youth, as the faith-based leader, we need to transform those harmful practices on gender, at least to harmonize the they are living in the country.
Yeah.
So this is what I'm seeing that we have to do. Conclude by saying there are acts that as religious leaders, we need to act as a gender, as a agents of social control. When we are in the churches, let's preach on gender-based violence. Like in the Quran 176 talks about a woman is not a slave. A woman is not somebody to be mistreated. Then again in the Bible, in Thessalonians, it talks about who is a woman, the importance of a woman, of a lady. So we should not take ladies as properties, because I believe South Sudan is one of the countries where people take when a lady as a prophet. Today when your wife gives a birth to a lady, mm-hmm. you begin to jubilate.
Yeah.
But when he gives a birth to a boy, then you feel you are in a total loss,
yeah.
because you're not going to gain anything.
Yeah.
So we should not take these ladies as source of our income, but we should take them as people who are going to help this country.
Yeah. Thank you very much, Dimba Shafiq, from the Islamic Council of South Sudan in Juba here. And listeners, Radio Mirai, this is the discussion hour of Nationwide. And so if you want to join this conversation, you can call us on 091206-7879 and on 091206-7929. And we are having in the studio here this conversation about how to make a safer digital space. And as we are marking the 16 days of activism, and this year is under the theme Unite to End Digital Violence Against All Women and Girls. With me in the studio are a number of activists and also people who are involved in these issues. I have in the studio Dimba Shafiq, Secretary for County Affairs, Central Equatoria State Islamic Council, and I have Kurakoli Sete, member of the Power Space, which is a useless organization, Young Men Christian Organization. And I have also number three is Yine Yenki, co-founder of Go Girls ICT Initiative. And last but not least is Nyamal Kawai, member of the Marmara Circuit. I will be picking your calls and also asking more questions to my guests in the studio after this interlude.
You are listening to Radio Miraya, the voice of peace.
Nationwide, we bring you latest current issues, discussions and information. Nationwide on Radio Miraya.
Yes, the SMS line again is also 0912 1-77-141. The SMS line is 0912-177-141. And of course, if you have an experience that if you are a listener, and especially if you are a woman or a girl, and if you have a testimony to make of, without mentioning names, if you have a testimony to make about the safety or the harms or any kind of harassment and bullying that you have been subject to, and even if you have seen that happening to one of the people who are online, please let us know your experience. And also, if you have a question to any of the guests here, you are welcome to ask them any question. The numbers again are 0912067879 and 0912067929, and I will be receiving your calls. As I'm waiting for any calls, let me go back to Yine. Yine, this research is very significant. I keep going back to you because it's telling a lot. Are South Sudanese shifting their attitude, cultural attitude, social attitude, shifting them to online, or they are finding more opportunities to release the prohibitions and they break all the taboos that they could not do openly, and they are doing it online?
I don't understand the
question. ourselves, we have our cultures, right?
Yes, absolutely.
And
yes,
these cultures, we have some things that might not be positive.
Absolutely.
And some of it, we might have been doing it openly, right?
Yes.
In offline.
Yes.
But is now being online giving more courage?
It's amplifying.
Amplifying, this
yes.
is what I mean.
Yes.
Is it amplifying and giving a lot of free kind of ride to do this without social prohibition even?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes. Mm. So I only say that technology is a dual of amplification and simplification. So most times, actually, what happens online is what is mirrored offline. And what happens offline is what is mirrored online. So even if there are some harmful practices in my tradition, as long as I bring it online, I'm amplifying it. And there are people who are still okay with me amplifying that. I think I want to retrack a bit. When I was on the board of NCA, because I think this is a conversation that has been a little bit ongoing on the spaces that, like content creators saying, we should be monetized, we need to earn out of the content that we are putting out there. One of the significant move the leadership then took, and I think us on the board, was to, of course, engage with these content service providers, Facebook, Google, Amazon, YouTube, TikTok, to see if they could, for example, have their servers here. And it was, their requirements were very simple, but very expensive. I will not go to the other part, but one among their requirements, apart from having the relevant laws in the country, they said we need to define our community standards. Mm-hmm. South Sudan has 64 languages. What are the cultures of all these 64 languages? Because for them to make sure that their servers are in this country and to give us the access and the control to know what goes online that is safe and what doesn't go online, because as long as the servers are here, we have the power to filter.
I have the question here.
Yes.
Does it lead us to a question of policy gap that we need to work on as South Sudanese?
I think there are progressive efforts. If you've been following the news on November 25th, the Cyber Crime and Computer Misuse Bill.
So you're
was
saying
passed.
It's a positive?
Very significant. But the urgency is we need a data protection bill, because at the end of the day, who owns the data? Well, I could have committed a crime using this device, but how are the law enforcers going to access this information without a legal framework in place?
That's a very nice question there. let me come to the young man, Korakule. Young men are taking the lion's share of being blamed for doing this.
Yeah.
And some generalization is taking place. And the issues of creating awareness, capacity building, and all these. But it seems there is a very low reporting of these things and very low accountability. What can you say?
Because the young people has a role to play, and of course the blame is mostly on men, but of course as young people, as the youth, I think we have a role to play when it comes to peer education. Like us, as peers, we can be able to educate each other. Of course, when there is something bad you identify online, as a young person, you should not act as a person who can spread that bad thing. But instead, you will have to educate your fellow peers that such thing is what is actually bad. And we can also, of course, help in digital literacy. You educate your fellow peers on how to post, and of course, what to share. Like, of recently, there are things like, let me say, intimate videos, things that are supposed to be inside the room that has been shared on social media. And it is a common practice nowadays in South Sudan. So if it is the young people doing that, what does it tell? It's a bad sign. So as young people, it is our role to, of course, make sure that such things we advocate against. And of course, we teach our fellows to do the right thing. And we also make sure that we are part of the solution input. Like she has said, things regarding the legal framework. We have recently had the passing of the cyber crime and computer misuse bill. Yeah. So young people should be actively participating in such things. Of course, to put some voice that we have an inclusive legal framework that can guide all of us. So that's basically what I see. And of course, we can also put educative contents as young people to make sure that we make a difference, that girls should be respected and they should not be undermined in the digital space. Mm-hmm. So that's basically what we can do as young people.
Yes.
Can I?
Yes. Yes, very quickly, because I want to come to Nyamal. Yeah.
Because he mentioned something very important regarding the kind of content that people are posting online. And I think that comes from the point of how the algorithm rewards engagement. Mm-hmm. I put a lot of educative content. I don't get almost sometimes up to 10 reactions. Sometimes it's just 2. Yes. But let me put a picture of me wearing something short.
Or a joke.
Or a joke. You will see the number of comments, likes, and shares. And for me, I think that it's basically, it's almost like beyond us, but it's the way the algorithm is rewarding engagement, which is actually a problem.
People are looking mostly for distraction.
Yes, for distraction from whatever is happening.
Entertainment and all this. Serious content is a big failure in South Sudan. Yeah.
Everywhere, not only in South Sudan, everywhere. It's actually becoming a problem. 3 days ago, I was at the Digital Gender Dialogue, the first of its kind, organized by IGAD for the region, and all the 80 member countries, all our problems were the same.
Yeah. Nyamal, because we are reaching the final of the last 6 minutes, what is the message you want to leave from Mara Sakit?
The last message I can give to Mamara Sakit Village, from Mamara Sakit Village to outside there, like ladies or everybody, as a human being, let's just be brother's keeper. You know, sometimes, why I say that, sometimes some people feel good when you're seeing someone being, image being tarnished online, someone being misused and all this.
Yeah.
I found it's okay for me why someone is going under hardship. Like, okay, it could not be your relative, but at least it's a fellow human being. And at the end of the day, you claim that you go to church and you're praying, you are a believer. So you're believing on people being doing bad. At least if someone is getting to be harassed or getting all those bad names and all this, at least don't be part of sharing, be a part of advocating to stop. At least be your brother or your sister's keeper. If you are one person, at least advocate for that's wrong and shouldn't be like that. And report to the nearest relevant security people on anything. Like recent, just 1 hour before we came here, there was something on social media saying someone was arrested. Okay, the thing was posted by Hot in Juba. It's only 5 minutes and it has 150 likes. Just only in 5 minutes. 150 likes. I was even showing to Cheryl's like, you see, it's because so and so have been arrested, and that could be an allegation anyway. It may not happen.
Yeah. But why do you like somebody being arrested?
Yeah, but then it has 150 likes only in 5 minutes. Yeah. So like, these people are just waiting for the wrong things to happen and then they like instantly.
It tells a lot of the mind of the people. Dimba, you already said something very important there, but we give you another minute to conclude this conversation.
Thank you very much, Sadal. I want to conclude by saying, you know, all this, we need this to strengthen our legal and policy measures. Legal and policy measures, the security and the protection measures that will eliminate all these things that are going on, like somebody, like my sister here talked about the data
protection.
In South Sudan, I don't think that our data is protected. It's not. So all this, if are put in place, I think everything, the institutional and the culture shifts, these ones are all that are things that affects mostly women. And so it need to be put in place and legalized. When somebody do, then he has to face the court of law. Not being put in on paper. Should be on paper and being used.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you. 1 minute for Yine.
Oh, God, that's hard.
Yeah, one and a half.
Sorry. I think I will conclude with one of the quotes from one of the participants during the focused group discussion. And she said she stopped sleeping well after her photos were shared. So I think every one of us should know that.
That's a trauma.
Yes, whatever we put online, there is a consequence to somebody else. Mm-hmm. Others, it even leads to suicide. Others, anger. Others, completely withdraw. Mm-hmm. And we should just be human enough. Mm-hmm. To think of what would it feel if this was done to me.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. And this is a very, very wonderful and very deep, but also a serious conversation. Mm. Thank you very much for taking your time. Dimba Shafiq, Korakuli Sete, and Yine Yenke, and Jamal Kawai for being with us here. I think this one will be continuing even outside of the 16 days of activism.
Absolutely.
There is a lot to be discussed, a lot of aspects to be discussed. Yes.
Maybe
few seconds,
a few seconds. When we are going to launch the report final of the research, definitely it would be nice to have a conversation.
Yes. I think we will need a lot of debate about this.
Yes.
Yeah, because the issue of data protection, even something that didn't come to my mind when this bill was the bill of cybercrime was launched. Mm-hmm. It needs another one because we need to be protected. Even
very
we
important.
Can't give the government the license just to get into our devices.
Yeah,
we should be protected in one way or another.
Yeah.
Thank you very much. And this brings us to the end of today's discussion hour on Nationwide, and we will have more and more conversations about around the 16 days of activism against sexual and gender-based violence. Today was the theme we are tackling is Unite to End Digital Violence Against All Women and Girls. Thank you very much. I'm Gabriel Shadar. I've been with you on today's show.
Nationwide, your daily current affairs program on Radio Miraya.